going on, man?
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You're looking sharp tonight, and I'm looking like a bum off the street.
Well, you have to look the part, you know?
You know, I used to... are people ever surprised when they come in and see you and, like, you kind of look like a normal person? Like, you wear kind of normal clothes. I don't think you wear a white coat when you're seeing anybody, do you?
Well, I am a normal person. What do you mean by that?
You know, like the typical doctor thing. Like, you do have a stethoscope, I think. You do have a stethoscope. Is that right?
I don't wear a stethoscope around my neck anymore.
You don't?
I just have them in the room. No, I have them in the different rooms. But no, I don't wear a white coat or a tie. You know,
When did you stop wearing...
I'm a normal person. I'm just a regular guy.
That's right. That's right. I like that. I think that actually really, you know, resonates. You know, I think you talk a lot about how it's a conversation, and I know you spend most of the time, you know, listening and getting to know the patient. But I dig the whole reason I brought that up is I dig your outfit. I dig the sweater. It's a perfect sweater.
Thank you.
Perfect sweater weather
today. Cold today, but yeah, I learn a lot from my patients. I'll tell you what, that my podcast today, if you read it, on microscopic colitis really directly came from a patient, idea. I started talking to her about her own situation, and, you know, it just led to that. I had another idea today. I forget what it was, but I jotted it down on things to talk about. Oh, I know what it is. Boron. I'm going to talk about boron. And how it really helped this lady.
That's interesting.
Lichen sclerosis. But anyway, that's another subject. But I get a lot of great ideas from patients, and I see new patients every day that are very interesting.
I love all these stories that you're putting out, and you actually sent me an article, which, you know, tends to be kind of our flow for coming up with ideas on Common Sense MD episodes and stuff like that. And I think you're going to talk a little bit about EMF coming up soon. Is that kind of on your radar?
We'll talk about
that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. There's so many different subjects that we're never at a loss for subjects to come up with.
Yeah.
And if people have ideas that you want us to talk about, just text them to Ben. You know,
The best thing here is if you do have any topics that you want us to dive a little deeper on, you can put them in the comments here. You can email me, ben@performancemedicine.net. Same thing in the office. I know, like you said, you're getting a ton of ideas based on the questions you're getting inside the office. So it's super cool. And I want to put this up from Ashley just because, Ashley, thank you so much for this question, because I know it's like a common one. And we've been talking a lot about how to get on Ozempic, and it kind of caught my eye just now because we haven't talked much about getting off of it. So actually, we're going to take this right now. We have a couple that came in throughout the week that we'll get to here in a second. But real quick, I see Tracy, what's up? Great to see you. Jack, hello. Teresa's in the building. We got a great question there about statins. Thank you. Montana from our West Knoxville office is here. So glad to have Montana in here. I see Katie's got an update for us. So we got a lot going on, guys. If y'all have a question for Doc, go ahead and put them in the comments, and we will get to that shortly. But Doc, go ahead and answer this for Ashley, because
that's a great question.
We've been talking a lot about it.
Yeah, I was asked that twice today on when a patient gets down to their goal, if they're using Ozempic for weight loss, which most people are. Now it's Wegovy for weight loss, Ozempic for diabetes. But, you know, it's a real hard question to answer because everybody's a little bit different. I mean, if you're pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, you may need to stay on it indefinitely. You know, I was at a meeting a few weeks ago with the reps from Ozempic and Wegovy, and, you know, the experts out in California at the Scripps Institute on obesity were saying that you need to work your way up to the maximum dose and stay on it. That really was very interesting to me. I don't really share that philosophy wholeheartedly unless you have a really bad chronic problem, which a lot of people do. I mean, you have to start thinking of obesity as a disease, you know, not a, you're just eating wrong and things like that. I mean, it is, it's a chronic metabolic disease. It's usually treated lifelong. Now, my own feeling about it is that once you get to your goal and you've learned, you've changed some things, you know, you can wean off of it. I usually go down like half milligram a week until you're off of it. That may, you know, it's going to take a month to kind of taper off. I think it's better to do that than cold turkey. But I mean, in a perfect world, you know, you could stay on it forever and you wouldn't have much of an appetite. You know, and some people probably need to do this, but then you have to think, well, you know, this is an expensive medicine and, you know, can I not turn it into something where I've got a chance to, keep it off? So my own feeling is that you can taper off of it. If you're not, you know, if you're a person that isn't really extremely, insulin resistant and not diabetic and have really changed some things, in what you eat, and along the way, looking at all your hormones and doing all the metabolic things that we do. So we will try to get people off of it. Most people, you know, their insurance won't keep paying for it anyway. And you need to learn to do that, you know, without the aids. I'm a huge believer in it. Believe me. I mean, I'm a firm believer that most people cannot lose weight by themselves. They just can't tell themselves, hey, I'm going to eat less, exercise more. It just never works. Maybe 1% or less. But then you have a lot of people that get on any diet and then they get off of it and their weight returns. So if it becomes a chronic problem, then you best stay on it, you know, if you can. So it's individual. How much weight have you lost? We've had people lose 150 pounds on Ozempic. We've had people lose 10, 15. And maybe that's all they needed to lose. But so that's a different, I would, if you want to get off of it, but you're going to be on it for several months is the way I look at it, until things kind of settle down and you're used to not eating so much and used to eating low carb, maybe doing some intermittent fasting, and looking at all the other stuff. There may be some other things we can transition you into that'll help insulin resistance, like berberine and some more natural things. But, you know, I firmly believe Ozempic and Mounjaro should be called the drugs of the century, because they really work and they're so protective of your heart, your liver, your brain, your kidneys. So it's just a great tool. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the individual, but plan on being on it for a while is what I'll tell you.
And to taper off, you're saying a half milligram a week.
Yeah. Say you're on 2 milligrams, go to 1.5 for a week, one, then 0.5, maybe even 0.25, and then get off of it.
Do you recommend people cycle on and off? So like, you know, there's seasons where they're on Ozempic for, you know, 6 months and then off of it. Are any of your patients doing that? Or is it mainly like either
taper off? Yeah, I've had some that have gone off and gone back on, for sure. But I'd rather you solve the problem once and for good than to have to keep going on and off, you know, personally.
And I'm going to put this up from Ashley, because man, this is incredible. This is such a success story. I hope this encourages so many of you here tonight. Ashley's saying, I've loved it and has most definitely changed my life after years of never being able to lose more than 10 pounds, but I've been on for 2 years and have lost 50. That's incredible. Congratulations, Ashley.
Congratulations. That's a great story.
That is so cool.
You know, again, you can try to taper off, and if it works for you, fine. If not, we're going to just keep you on it. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if you need, hopefully your insurance is paying for it.
Yeah.
But that's the only problem we've had with this class of medications has been getting it paid for.
Yeah.
or affordable. So,
well, Ashley, thank you so much for putting that in. And thank you for that question. That's an angle around the GLP-1s we haven't talked enough about. So hope that helps. Congratulations on all the success. That's amazing. All right, guys, if you have questions for Doc, go ahead and put those in the comments. We're going to get into some questions that came in throughout the week. And this is we typically don't talk about current events, but this is, has to do with anxiety in kids. And, so we're going to put this up. Obviously, if you live in Tennessee or even if you haven't, you've probably heard of the school shooting that happened yesterday. The question is about my 11-year-old daughter seems to be traumatized by the Green Hills school shooting. We live over 100 miles away, and she wasn't in any danger. She's having a really hard time with it. I don't know what to say to help her. Any suggestions on how to address her anxiety? What are things I should look out for? This is a very pertinent question, and I think probably a question, unfortunately, we're going to have to, answer more and more, as things, get, can be scary, in this world. So, what's your suggestion for this? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that's one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life was a picture this morning on the front page of the paper. Just horrifying, just unbelievable what happened. And it's happening.
It happens too much.
If it happens once, it's way too much, yeah. But it's unbelievable. Something has to change. There's some people that are mentally ill that are doing this. And I'm just so sad, shocked. And it's just hard to even talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you have to talk about it. I think if you're a parent and you have kids that you have to talk about it, you have to talk about it with them and get them to talk to you about it, because they will talk to you about this. You shouldn't overexpose them to too much media on this, I don't think, but you need to talk about what happened and emphasize that they're going to be all right. And, and watch out for things, because they need to know they have loving parents and friends, and this is rare. And we live in a hard world that you can't shield the world from anymore. And unfortunately, we live in a world that's full of just terrible things. When I grew up, stuff like that didn't happen. And it's just something that you have to talk about with them. You have to get your kids, you have to watch out for certain types of behaviors, because they can get depressed over this. Mm-hmm. Anxiety always leads to depression. So if they talk it out, I think they're a lot better off. And, they're going to want you around more. And you need to reassure them that they're going to be all right. And they may even need to talk to their school counselors and their teachers and about what happened. But if you see behavioral changes, like they get withdrawn and they start acting out, or they start isolating, their grades go down, you need to get them some help, professional help. I'm not a psychologist, but common sense says talk about it. Don't overexpose them to the bad thing, especially the real young kids that, just don't know how to process something like this. But it's just a horrible thing. But look for behavioral changes. Talk about it. Just love on your kids and reassure them that they're safe and that their teachers are looking out for them. Their friends are, you are, and get it out in the open. All the studies in psychology show that the more you talk about something, the less fear you have. And they're scared. They're anxious. They're scared. It's just horrible. I think the saddest picture I've ever seen was on the front page of the paper today of the girl on the bus. Mm. I'll never forget that picture. I'll never get it out of my mind. I just can't imagine what they're going through there right now.
One thing I will, I'll quickly add, it seems to me that, you know, isolation is something that we just want to avoid at all costs, you know? So definitely, you know, I would encourage kids not to isolate, you know, and it's difficult not for that not to be, you know, a first reaction, but don't isolate, be around people, be in community. One thing I'll put up here is for my good friend, Jamie Winship. I don't know if this person is watching who asked the question, but I think this series we did with Jamie on fear and anxiety in particular are really, really pertinent today. And I think it's delivered in a way that's helpful to people of all ages. I'd watch it with my kids or listen to it. But definitely check those out and make sure, you know, they don't isolate. They don't, you know, spend a lot of time alone, you know. But thank you for answering that, Doc. And that's it's a difficult thing to talk about today. So thank you for the question. Thank you for talking about it, Doc. And we will move on. But just know anybody who's been affected, more closely than maybe you or I, we're certainly thinking about you and praying for you. Okay, let's go to the next one here. This is about kind of I'm doing all the right things, but I'm still feeling tired. The question is, if blood work is good, diet is good, exercise 4 times a week, but you still feel tired. This is a common question we get. And I know, you know, it's, you know, a lot of us are doing the right things, you know, and still not feeling as energized as we think. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, you need to certainly look at your sleep patterns. Some people don't sleep and they're chronically tired. You definitely ought to get some blood work like a Cleveland panel and look at the vitamin levels and things like that. You know, determine how stressed you are. Some people actually work out too much and they're chronically tired from too much working out. And it doesn't seem like, hopefully it's moderate exercise 4 times a week would be good. But I do see a lot of people that work out too much and they're chronically tired from that. Chronic sleep loss, stress at work or home, lowered vitamin levels. You see that quite a bit. And you may even try, you know, some of the best, I talk about mitochondria a lot, which is the source of all energy in every cell. You know, you need to make sure your mitochondria are functional. I like CoQ10 with PQQ. I think that's those are two good things to increase your number of mitochondria and output of ATP from your mitochondria. There's a lot of factors that go into that. I'd really look at sleep. I look at hormone levels. If you're at that age, I'd look for patterns. Some people eat, diet is good, but some foods make some people tired. But that's there's a lot of things that could be going on. But that's probably, you know, really most people that go to the doctor, they go for one or two reasons. Either they're tired or they hurt. That's why people go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So it's very common. And do those things that you need to do for energy, like get up and walk around. I think staring at a computer makes you tired.
Yeah.
I really do. I think not moving enough, our work habits make us tired, I think. And certainly stress makes people tired. You can't know somebody's physical shape without knowing their mental shape. And, you know, so look at all those things. And, you know, we see this every day. There's a lot of things you can do for it. A lot of great supplements too, if you're, you know, just chronically worn out. You know, sometimes I'll get a Myers cocktail when I'm really worn out and it just perks me right up. It's just an IV of vitamins. So make sure there's no other chronic problem going on with you, either, you know, physiologic or psychologic. Look at sleep, get an Oura ring and see how well you're sleeping.
And one other thing that I'll add, and it really, I don't know if it pertains to this question. It probably doesn't, but, my best friend had surgery on his deviated septum today, and I took him to the hospital, and you know, the thing he wanted the most, he's like, man, if this just helps me sleep and gives me more energy. And so I think being able to breathe out of your nose is a big part too. You know, sometimes you can't do much about it. You know, but isn't that interesting? I have a feeling that he's going to have so much more energy now because he'll be able to breathe through his nose. He was,
especially if you have sleep apnea. You know, so many people tell me they finally get on a CPAP or, you know, open up their nasal passages. It's just a different person. So look at all those things, and there's an answer somewhere. Look at your gut. If your gut's not functioning right, you're going to be tired. You're not going to be at your best unless your GI tract is working really good.
One thing we love to do here on the show is celebrate wins. And I want to put this up from Jordan. Thank you so much for sharing. This is incredible. Along with Ashley, this is just so cool. I'm so proud of you.
Congratulations.
That's so awesome. Pumped for you. That is incredible. Congratulations. If there's any other victories we need to put up, let us know. I always talk about energy. That gives us energy. That gives the people watching and listening energy as well. All right. So we're going to go to live questions here, guys. I see we've got a bunch coming in. If you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in the
comments. Thing I'll mention, Ben,
do it.
About energy. You're right, because you ever notice how some people give you energy when you talk to them and other people drain your energy? I know, being a doctor, if you get a really hard patient, it can drain you for the whole day.
Yeah.
You know, just sap your energy, sap the life out of you, you know, listening to it and trying to deal with it. So be around positive people that give you energy, not that drain energy from you. Mm. And that's really important.
Yeah.
I think.
No, it's super important. Thank you for adding that in there. All right, guys, we're going to get to some questions here. Let's get here. Roel's question. It's about beta blockers. Doctor, can I please ask about beta blockers? And I noticed when I was on dexamethasone tablets, my blood sugar bummed a little. What's your thoughts on this? Have you seen something similar?
Well, yeah, you know, both beta blockers and, of course, dexamethasone, which is a steroid, will, you know, pump your sugars up. You know, you don't need to be on them very long because they'll definitely raise your sugar levels. Beta blockers, they're tough, too, because they can really mask hypoglycemia. So, you know, those are two things to look out for. So if you're a diabetic or pre-diabetic on a beta blocker, you may not know you're getting hypoglycemia and maybe having some reactive hyperglycemia. So you have to really be careful when you use those. And certainly dexamethasone, that's going to definitely mess your sugars up. So hopefully it's a short-term thing on that. But great, great point there on how those can really affect your blood sugar levels. Mm. Both of them can, to the detriment of your blood sugars.
Thank you. Thank you for putting that in there, Roel, and because you know that's helpful for anyone who's thinking about taking a beta blocker or who is on one. So,
I don't like to use beta blockers unless I really have to.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that in the episode today around because that could be a trigger for microscopic colitis was beta blockers. All right, let's get to Teresa's question. Hello, Teresa. Thank you for hanging out with us. My PCP wants to put me on a statin. What would you recommend to help lower my cholesterol without going on another pill? I know you get this question all the time, so I'm so pumped for this. Thank you, Teresa, for bringing this up.
Yeah, I saw it today twice.
Yeah.
You know, they tried a statin that their doctor had put them on, and they got muscle aches, couldn't walk, that type of thing. So some people can't tolerate statins. And really, in my opinion, they're overprescribed anyway. You know, I'm not totally against them if you have heart disease. You know, they may help reverse some atherosclerosis because they tend to be anti-inflammatory. It's not because they lower your cholesterol. So I think a lot of doctors, they see your LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, and they want to get that number down, you know, to hit a goal. But in my opinion, I don't like to look at it that way. You got to consider all the other risk factors for heart disease, not just a number, because those statins can cause a lot of side effects. Most of my patients don't want to take them. So first of all, don't just look at your really a total cholesterol and an HDL and an LDL. They really don't mean a lot. You have to go further. You have to get, you know, the size of the particles of the LDL. You need to determine the ApoB number, which is probably the most important thing, your LP little a number, which is an inherited thing with your cholesterol. Look at the amount of your LDL that's oxidized. You know, look at your, what's your HDL, your good cholesterol? What's the size of those? What are your triglycerides doing? What are your other risk factors? So don't automatically take that. Hey, okay. I'm glad you're kind of looking at it yourself and wanting to try something else. A few things that I like, garlic pills, I think help cholesterol along with doing a lot of other things. I like bergamot. That's another one I really put a lot of people on to help bring down cholesterol. And sometimes I'll even use a prescription medicine that kind of affects the absorption of cholesterol, like cholestyramine, especially if you're having diarrhea, like I talked about on the Microscopic Colitis podcast today. Even Zetia. I got a question about that yesterday, about somebody didn't want a statin. So it's not uncommon not to want a statin, you know. So try those extra things. You know, you don't need to go on a low-fat diet, because if you eat a low-cholesterol diet, your liver just pumps out more. So it's really fruitless there. I still think lower-carb diet's the best. So, you know, you need to eat a good diet and don't eat junk food. But mainly, don't eat sugars and high-glycemic carbs, in my opinion. And so look further and resist it. You know, get a CT calcium scoring and see if you've got any calcium deposits around your coronary arteries, and look at your other risk factors, and, you know, just kind of follow along, but don't get freaked out because your cholesterol is mildly elevated. I certainly would.
All right, Teresa, I hope that helps. Such a great question. And, a lot of people are in very similar scenarios. So I hope that helps some people. I'm going to put this up there from Katie. Updating my beef liver friends on here. I have added beef heart to my eating. She'll keep y'all posted on how this goes. And it's cooked. Super interesting, Katie.
I ate some yesterday. I ate some beef heart yesterday. You tasted like a steak.
You know, I think Katie showed me a picture of it. It was on Ben Curtis's Instagram account. Shout out to Ben, who's doing such a great job with his Instagram account. He's going through kind of his journey. We'll have to put that up there, Katie, if you have his handle. But beef heart, super, super interesting. Keep us posted, Katie. If anybody in here is interested, stay tuned for more on that and the beef heart. Super, super interesting.
We eat a lot of beef liver. As Katie will tell you.
And if you guys weren't here last week, we did a podcast on beef liver. Definitely check that out. And we're going to keep talking more about it, because I know you're kind of on your own journey. Katie, of course, is a huge believer in the carnivore diet, and beef liver is a big part of it. So super fun, guys. All right, let's get to where am I at? Buddy's question. What over-the-counter pain medicine do you prefer, as an example of Advil, Tylenol, et cetera? Is there any natural remedies that work for minor pains? Great question.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, I'd rather use them than having to go to ibuprofen, Advil, or Aleve, which is naproxen. Those are the two over-the-counter ones that used to be prescription medications, but you can obtain. You just don't want to take too many of those. I'll occasionally take some if I need it. I certainly don't want to take them every day. I'd rather take the natural stuff every day, which I do. I mean, you don't get to be this old without having some arthritis. But so I like, my favorite one is turmeric, curcumin, certainly which you can get over the counter. I like MSM. Usually there's a combination of chondroitin, glucosamine, which doesn't do much good, chondroitin, which does, it's pretty good. But the MSM is the one that works the best, I think. So those are my favorite. I like CBD. You know, we have some different forms of CBD gummies that we use. One of them specifically for joint and muscle. That's the one I like. But, you know, Tylenol, I haven't found Tylenol to be that helpful for too much, to be honest with you, except maybe fevers and kids. So drinking other natural stuff you can do or move, drink water, avoid inflammatory food. Some people just cut sugars out and all their joints get better.
So fascinating.
You know, just your diet, an anti-inflammatory diet, leaving out sugars and glutens and dairy and corn and soy and nightshades maybe. So work around that a little bit. And those are the main ones that I use. There's some other ones out there, but of course, collagen. I like the keto collagen. That tends to work pretty well. Any other natural remedies you guys have, put it up there.
If you guys have a natural remedy for pain, put in the comments. We'd love to share with Buddy and the rest of the crew here. One thing I'll add is we're going to do an Explain This episode with Robin Riddle on what it looks like to not eat sugar during the day. And I'm super interested. We haven't recorded it yet. But I want to know we've had a few like amazing stories where people don't eat sugar and then all of a sudden, you know, they don't hurt, you know,
their arthritis goes away.
Yeah. It's crazy. But you know, a lot of times I think myself included, it gets a little like, how in the world am I supposed to, you know, not eat sugar? And which is wild to even think that that's my mentality. But Robin's going to change that for us. So stay tuned for that. I see Ben Curtis Wellness is the Instagram handle if you want to learn more about carnivore and all he's up to. And I see Motaz is in the building, and he had beef liver for an early dinner today.
All right.
So cool.
Wonderful, Motaz.
So good to see you, Motaz. All right, let's go to another question here. Let's get Roos' question. How much milk thistle can I safely take? What's your thoughts on this?
Man, you know, I tell people to take one or two capsules a day. I'd have to look up the milligrams on that. I like the life extension. You know, I don't think you're going to have a problem taking more than that, but look up the life extension milk thistle and take one a day. If that doesn't work, take two. And look at all the other things that will kind of keep your liver flushed out and healthy, like avoiding certain things, alcohol being the main one, Tylenol being another one, talking about that. But most people get away on one a day.
All right, Ruth, thank you for that question. Let's get to this. Is timely, Mark, with microscopic colitis. Studies show consumption of basil and gum arabic reduced inflammation and accelerates the healing of the colon and ulcerative colitis. Do you think it could be a treatment for microscopic colitis?
Could be. You know, I haven't had any experience with using those for microscopic colitis, which is kind of a new thing. You know, I should have put something in there today about using low dose naltrexone for it, because it's an autoimmune thing, kind of like UC or Crohn's or celiac. It's an autoimmune phenomena. So yeah, I mean, you can certainly try it. I haven't done it yet, but certainly look at what you eat first and consider microscopic colitis as a diagnosis if you have what's been termed IBSD, irritable bowel syndrome dominant diarrhea. It's pretty typical symptoms. But the problem is they can't see it on a colonoscopy, so they're going to say you're normal when you still have an autoimmune colitis. You have to get biopsies of the areas and have a pathologist look at it under a microscope to even see if you have it. But there's a lot of good treatments that are kind of new, like oral budesonide, delayed release budesonide capsules is my favorite treatment for it. But there's other treatments. Look at the note. It's pretty interesting, but certainly I'll have to consider looking at those too. Even cholestyramine can help, especially if you have bile acid malabsorption syndrome, which a lot of people that have ulcerative colitis and microscopic colitis probably have. Mm. That's a good point.
Thank you for that question, Mark. I just want to put this up from, we've talked a little bit about this earlier, but Ashley's saying, you know, she's 20 pounds from her goal weight, but is on a stall. What's the best way to break a stall while on Ozempic? So this is, Ashley's lost, I believe, around 50 pounds. She needs 20 more to go, but she's stalling. I'm sure you've seen this.
We see it all the time. One thing is, don't get discouraged. There's no doubt it's a lot easier to get it off at first.
Yeah.
And those last few pounds you want to lose are a little tougher. So look closely at your carbs, how many carbs you're eating. Definitely do some intermittent fasting. I don't know what dose you're on Ozempic. You know, if you're tolerating it well, you can even go up on the dose a little bit as well, unless you're at maximum. Be patient, because it's always harder to get the last bit off. So just keep a good attitude about it. I love exercise too. It's not a real good weight loss tool, but it certainly is good for you in every other way. I look more at, rather than pounds, I look at waist measurement, like waist to hip ratio is more important than actually what you weigh. So try to build muscle, which will burn fat from around your midsection. It may not show on the weight scale, but it'll show in your waistline, which is definitely the most important thing. So don't be discouraged if you're on a stall. You may go like, you're not going to go like that. You're going to go, that's the way it's going to be. So wait out a stall, change, look at your diet real closely, sleep patterns, hormone levels, and be patient. You can lose it.
It seems Ashley does do weight training, which is amazing. That is interesting to kind of expect the stall. I think it's not natural to think that way. You think, you lose, you keep losing, and you're just going to keep losing.
I think everybody stalls a little bit. So don't get discouraged. The worst thing you can do is get discouraged. We had one lady that lost 100 pounds, and she was so disappointed.
Really?
And
yeah. Really?
It's just a bad attitude.
Interesting.
So you have to have reasonable expectations. So again, don't focus too much on the pounds. Focus on the abdomen, the visceral fat. That it is kind of the hardest part to get off at the very end, but it will come. You're not going to get there through doing crunches. You're going to get there more through other things, like what you're eating and how much you're sleeping and what your hormone levels look like and that type of thing. Stress always, if you're stressed, it's hard to lose weight because your body's putting out cortisol, the stress hormone that it's kind of like prednisone. It tells your body, we're stressed, hang on to fat. You're going to need it. So stress plays a big part there.
And Ashley, keep coming on Tuesday night. Well, I think a lot of it is, being a part of community. A lot of people in here are on the same journey. So
you're not alone. That last 20 is going to be a little bit slower, a lot slower than the first 50.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, Ashley, for putting this in there. I want to put this up from Chuck. Back to energy. Chuck is saying getting my hormones fixed has given me a ton of energy, both mental and physical. That's awesome. Thank you, Chuck. Chuck, yeah. Do you have your t-shirt? Your t-shirt's in West Knoxville office. I want to make sure you get that. Chuck had some.
What did Chuck win that for? Is he the one said about the lawyer?
Yeah, he said lawyers.
Yeah, that was a great one. I got a big kick out of it. But, you know, very true. I mean, that's really true.
Yeah. So Chuck, if you don't have it yet, it's at the West Knoxville office for you. Thank you so much for that comment there. It's a big deal. The hormone thing is a really, really big deal.
It is.
Cool. So Chuck's got his shirt. There we go. I love it. Thank you, Chuck. Okay. Let's get to, let's see, where am I at? I'm going to go to Roel's question. Doctor, I read an article that the DEA is wanting to impose restriction on testosterone. Have you heard about this? This is interesting, something we deal with on an everyday basis in testosterone. What's your thoughts on this?
You're always hearing rumors of that, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me a lot, to be honest with you. You know, I just don't see abuse of it in my practice. I suppose they're, you know, wanting to cut down on illegal trade of a controlled substance, which testosterone is, you know, so I'm not worried about it. Certainly in the hands of a doctor that knows what they're doing, it may be a good thing that people can't get it, you know, from Mexico or, you know, at the local gym and things like that. But you know, as far as imposing a restriction based on what your levels are, you know, I hope we don't get so bad that they do something like that. I don't see it. And then people will do it illegally. You know, a lot of people think because the normal testosterone level is say 300 to 1,000, that if you're not below 300, you don't have low T and you're just using it. That's not true at all. You know, there's so many different factors. You really want to be on the high end. You don't want to be normal. You want to be optimal. It's a big difference. So, you know, I don't worry about that. I really don't. They're not gonna do that.
All right. Thank you, Roel. All right, guys. Welcome into the people joining us now. If you guys got questions for Dr. Rogers, this is the Performance Medicine Show. We answer live health and wellness questions. And I'm looking. I know I'm missing some here. I want to put this up from Jack. This is something I think a lot of people who've been on keto have dealt with. I feel horrible off of keto. So sugar makes me ache all over, and I'm young. So it seems that Jack has done a ketogenic diet and coming off of it has made him, it kind of sounds like a relapse type, you know, symptoms.
Sometimes you don't realize how bad you feel until you cut something out.
Yeah.
I remember when, you know, years ago, I used to drink sweet tea.
Yeah, I did too.
Occasionally. And then when Andy and Kelly came down with type 1 diabetes, I'm not going to drink sweet tea in front of them.
Right.
So I cut it out for a month or so, and then I was by myself one night, and I was thirsty, so I drove into Powell's, and I got a sweet tea, and, you know, I was by myself. I couldn't drink it. I could not drink it. It tasted horrible. So once you wean yourself off something and get on a good pattern, you don't maybe not realize how bad you felt when you're eating so bad.
Yeah.
You know, so that just tells you sugar is really inflammatory, especially in some people. But if you keep eating sugar, you'll get used to it and you're used to feeling bad. You don't know what's doing it, but it's probably the sugars.
Thank you, Jack, for sharing that. I'm going to put this up from Robert. This is so sweet. Amy and Chile had a wonderful visit today. Performance Medicine has amazing staff. We were treated. That's so sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting that in there, Robert. Let's see here. Where are we at? I'm going to get to Mark has a great question around Ozempic that I think will help a lot of people here. It's around if insurance doesn't cover Ozempic, $995 or Wegovy $1,365. This is in regards to the price of Ozempic and Wegovy. Could a generic semaglutide from a reputable peptide supplier be as effective, if that's, not cheaper?
That's the key, reputable. So yeah, we get it. We get it all the time. You know, if the insurance won't pay for it, you know, we can get it a lot cheaper through a really good compounding pharmacy. I mean, we do that a lot.
Is there any recommendations for people, especially if they're not in our area, for how to know if it's a reputable peptide supplier? Is there anything to look for?
Yeah, look for certification of the compounding pharmacy. Mm. They need the compounding certification for good practices. So, and most of them are. I mean, unless you're getting it from another country or something, but we have some really good compounders in this country and a lot of good ones in Tennessee. You know, they have to be, they have to pass a lot of rigorous tests if they're able to do sterols, which means injectables. They really,
it's rigorous.
It's millions of dollars worth of equipment and testing that they're held to accountable to, and they come in and check them all the time. Mm. So, yeah, we use quite a bit of it. Definitely. It's definitely way cheaper.
Thank you for putting that in there, Mark. Let's get to, I want to put this up from Jenny here, because this is something, we've heard, inside the office from people. It's, that feeling of, I need help, I need surgery. I'm assuming this has to do with losing weight. How have you counseled people who, need this type of help, might need to do surgery, but maybe can't do that quite yet? I know you've had these conversations before. What are those conversations like?
I have a lot of orthopedic surgeons and general surgeons send me patients to get weight off of them before they operate on them. Mm-hmm. And certainly if you're really heavy, you're more at risk on the table. So, having a brother that's a surgeon, he told me, the heavier people get, the more dangerous. He's hesitant about operating on them. Mm-hmm. And they're actually, they don't do as much surgery because of that. Mm. So it's kind of sad, but yeah, come in. We can definitely help you. You'd probably be a great candidate for Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. There's a way to get there. And certainly you're going to have less risk and better overall health if you do lose weight and keep it off. The key is keeping it off too. Don't think it's just to get by for your surgery. Think about it as life-changing.
And Jenny, take a look at the video that we did. We did one. It was with Brandy, and it was how she lost. I think she lost in the 130 pound range, and she was on the Common Sense MD. If you search for the Common Sense MD weight loss or performance medicine weight loss, it should show up. There's a couple videos. It's super encouraging. Brandy's just amazing, and her story's just so cool. And hopefully we'll offer some encouragement to you.
I like the way you term that. I need help. I wish more people would realize that. Yeah. So that's the first step. And when you ask for help, you're going to get help.
Thank you for putting that in there, Jenny. Okay. I'm seeing here if I'm missing any questions. Hopefully I have not. I see Grandma Mary is in the building. Grandma Mary, I love you. Thank you for being here each and every Tuesday. I'm looking forward to rocking out with you this weekend. I cannot wait. Okay. Roel's got a great question here. On the workout question, sometimes I use, okay, this is a comment. Sometimes I use a hand grip dynamometer. And if I'm weak, I skip or have a light workout. Super interesting.
That is really, those hand grip measurements are probably the overall best measurement for strength. So I know, in knowing Dr. Gorman, our hand surgeon that we're so good friends with, he'll tell you the same thing. And one thing, he wouldn't do surgery on somebody that didn't have a decent vitamin D level either.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
He's now retired, but he worked with us for a long time. That's a great comment, really good comment. You know, one good thing you can do as a test of your overall strength is just seeing how long you can hang on a chin-up bar.
Yeah.
Just full extension, just hang there and see how long you can do it. That's a really good measure of how strong you are.
I love it. Thank you for putting that comment in there, Roel. I'm going to put this from Motaz. This has to do with the testosterone, I believe. The DEA wants to restrict access via telemedicine. So the proposal is that for people to continue using test via telemedicine, they will need to at least see the doctor once in person. Is that once yearly, Motaz, or once overall?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting.
But yeah, you know, with the COVID pandemic, they opened up cross state lines treatment. That was a good thing that came out of that. But I hope they keep that, because they really should. If you're board certified and to work in one state, why wouldn't you in another state? It should be universal. But I hope they don't. But they could make it to where, you know, to prescribe any medicine, you have to have a license in that state. So that's a good thing that we need to find out what will happen. Right now, it's okay to do, but we may be cut off, certainly. And so one thing we encourage people to do is see us once a year if they can, certainly.
Great comment there, Motaz. I think I got through them all. Are we going to have an appearance? Because I know Lisa is going to want to see Izzy and
what time is it? Yes, almost 8 o'clock. Yeah,
you know, we need to get the stars of the show down here. And
I haven't heard from them yet tonight. They're probably playing.
This was a great show, guys. I cannot thank you guys enough for the thoughtful questions. It really means a lot to us that. That you know, a lot of you are vulnerable and just asking questions that not only helps you but helps everyone in here, including Dad and me. If you guys are new here, thank you for hanging out with us. We do this every single Tuesday at 7. We answer health and wellness questions for about an hour, and some people we've met, some people we haven't. I feel like I know a lot of you, even though I haven't seen you in person. Hopefully, we can figure out a way to meet in real life soon. I love each and every one of you who comes and hangs out with us.
Okay, here we have one little critter right here.
There he is. There she Izzy. Is. So that's Izzy there right is. There.
She's there. Camera shy.
So no, Izzy, but. Izzy is the newest addition. She's I guess she's a best friend of Ike. Oh, there she's looking right at
definitely
the camera.
Best friend. I want to show you a picture of those two.
Is she growing? Is she growing? Night.
If I can find it, see how can you see this? Is that a good picture? Here
that
here
is a good. That's
night.
A good picture. Come on, guys.
They
come on, guys. That is amazing. Come on.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute.
That's cute. That's cute.
Ike does get a little jealous, you know, at times, but here, Ike, you want to come up? Here she is.
Okay, Izzy. Man, I love the brown. She's a beautiful she's pup.
She's cute. Ike sure loves her. That's for sure.
Is Izzy growing, okay. Katie? I can't tell. I haven't seen Izzy in a couple weeks.
Come here. Here you go, Ike. Come here.
I know Ike, Ike's big. He's a
Ike's getting heavy.
What's up, Mama?
They call him a meat, like a what's up, Ike? Mini dog. But this dog weighs 55, almost 60 pounds. So I don't think he's a mini.
I love it. Hey,
there
Ike.
He is.
Hey, Ike. There he is. Look at you. Why are you shy? This is your show. Come on. Everybody's here waiting for you.
He doesn't think he's a star of the show anymore. He thinks Izzy's taking the spot.
Look at that. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. Does it get cuter than that? All right. Well, that is our signal, guys. That is a show. Ike and Izzy, thank y'all for closing us out. As always, Ike, you're a beautiful dog. Look at that. It's a strong dog right there, guys. We love you. We are calling it a show. Pop, I give us a 9 today.
I think you got a 10.
I think that was a 9.
Maybe an 8. I'll give myself an 8. I'll give you a 10.
I don't know.
That's an average of 9.
You were strong. You were strong. You look sharp. I think it was a 9. Guys, thank y'all so much for hanging out with us. There's so much of our team is in here. We love you guys. Montana, Katie, Carter, I see so many of you. I'm sure there's people watching who did not come and I don't even know are in here, but we love you. Thank y'all for doing all the work that you do inside of all of our offices and hanging out with us in the comments here on the Performance Medicine Show. Pop, I love you, man. Thank you so much.
Love you too. All right. I'll talk to you later.
I'll see you in a bit. Bye-bye. Guys, love you. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, the Performance Medicine Show. We will be back. I'm looking for my outro. See you guys. Don't go away. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.